Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective, and I think this is Tuesday, so we must be live, and we're doing that here, we're doing that here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and we do that through the studios at blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com, you go there and you type in Patriot Nation Radio, and you're going to find ACP there. We do the show Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. On Thursdays, we are back-to-back with our buddy Mark Hoffman, staple behind Patriot Nation Radio Network. He does a live show Monday. I do mine on Tuesday, and then we team up together and just knock the living daylights out of them for 2 hours, rocking it up on Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. ACP is also heard on the Talk America Radio Network, and you can go to talkamericaradio.org. They have two streaming audio channels there, the Liberty and the Justice streams. ACP heard on either one of those various times throughout the day and week. Well, as usual, a lot of crap going on. And the first thing we're going to talk about is what happened yesterday. Like a fabulously successful reality TV producer who saves the dramatic climax for his series for Sweeps Weeks, President Trump has pulled the trigger on declassification and release of unredacted documents and text messages previously hidden from public scrutiny. Representative Devin Nunes, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, who has seen the full documents, told Fox News exclusively on Monday that he believes President Trump's order to declassify several documents related to the FBI Russia investigation will expose the insurance policy that was referred to in text messages between FBI figures Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. Now, again, you and I, and all the other Mr. and Mrs. Americas and all the ships at sea have not seen these things. And that's what we have to bear in mind. Devin Nunes has, and other members of the committee have. In addition to this, fired FBI Director James Comey's text messages is also going to be released. According to Politico, President Trump moved on Monday to immediately release a tranche of former FBI Director James Comey's text messages and declassify 20 pages of a surveillance application that targeted former campaign advisor Carter Page, Trump's latest offensive against a Russia investigation that has ensnared associates and has consumed his attention for much of his presidency. The breadth of this particular order came as a bit of a surprise. He also called for the release of senior Justice Department official Bruce Orr's notes related to the Russia probe. Orr was a key conduit to the FBI for information provided by Christopher Steele, a former British intelligence operative who investigated Trump's relationship with Russia during the 2016 campaign and produced a dossier of damaging allegations, which Trump has derided as false. Now, again, this is coming from Politico. What I just read you came from Politico. He did not investigate the Trump campaign. He manufactured evidence against the Trump campaign. This is not intelligence. This is product, because it was put together. It was manufactured. Nunes elaborated a little bit more on the release last night, and he says, a lot of people think that the insurance policy was getting the FISA warrant on former Trump campaign aide Carter Page. And he was talking to Laura Ingraham on Fox News. We actually believe it was more explicit than that. Now, again, bear in mind, Nunes has seen the unredacted documents, a large measure of them at any rate. So obviously, he is alluding to something specific about which right now he cannot speak. And that's probably why he and a number of others have requested this declassification. Now, the other ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence is a fellow by the name of Adam Schiff. And I think you've heard me talk about the Schiff head. He's a California Democrat. He's the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. And what he says, and we can take a lot away from this, he says that Trump's, quote, selective release of materials he believes are helpful to his defense team and thinks will advance a false narrative as a clear abuse of power. And based on his conversations with federal law enforcement officials, the FBI and the Justice Department see the release of these unredacted documents as a red line that must not be crossed, as they may compromise sources and methods. Well, there are probably a lot of red lines that have already been crossed. Number one, by the conspirators setting up the insurance policy. Shiffy Pants will have ample time to point to sources and methods that he alleges would be compromised once the documents are released. But he may come up short on that, as he has on his claims of ample evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. Last February, Adam Schiff said this: there is ample evidence that the Trump campaign colluded with Russians, but only special counsel Robert Mueller can decide if it's enough to prove a crime beyond a reasonable doubt. There is, in my view, already ample evidence in the public domain on the issue of collusion if you're willing to see it. If you want to look, if you want to blind yourself, then you can look the other way. This is what gets me. Now, we have been, and I've been preaching this sermon for a while, we've known quite some time that the president had some indications, you know, he had given some indications that this was going to happen. There were a couple of guys, I think one guy, Paul Walker, I think, he was a former reporter for Investor's Business Daily, had mentioned this. Former U.S. Attorney General for the District of Columbia, Joseph DeGeneva had also talked about this. And here's what gets me. The president has access to all this stuff, all of it. Mueller and his little gang of Hillary Clinton donor minions had to have anticipated. I can't believe that they could not have anticipated that at some point in this arc, in this trajectory, that the president of the United States wouldn't simply just declassify it. Or maybe they were betting that he wouldn't. I'm not exactly sure. I can't believe it, they are that arrogant. And they are, you know, that self-insistent. Every inch of it, but to be so stupid as to think that the president would not do this, and apparently that's what they've thought, that the president wouldn't do this. And if you've noticed over the last couple of days, as it's come down closer and closer to the time when the talking heads, as well as the president himself, who gave indications that this may happen. Now that we've come down to that time, and now that it's happened, has anybody heard anything out of James Clapper? Or that red commie SOB, John Brennan? Yeah, Johnny, I hadn't forgotten about you, you pointy-nosed, squinty-eyed commie. No, haven't heard anything out of those fellas, have we? Andy McCabe's been remarkably quiet. James Comey, not too much on the talk show circuit nowadays. DeGeneva, without in so many words, has basically said, when this information is released, and it's going to be, and I'm sure some of it's coming out now and over the next couple of days, by the time Thursday's show rolls around, I ought to be loaded for bear on these cats. But DeGeneva has said, now I don't know if he has access to it, but he certainly has access to people who have had access to it. And, you know, these guys talk. He's given to think that it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad for these individuals. And in the article I just shared with you, that was from Thomas Lipson from American Thinker. They're going to wind up hurting. All these people that, and I mean, and it's not like the stuff's not already out there, but right now, these things that we talk about still roll around in the realm of speculation. You know? And until it moves into the realm of evidence, then, you know, I mean, it's all just kind of nebulous. It's all kind of iffy. But once this information becomes, you know, like I said, once it comes out and once it becomes disseminated amongst the public, then we've moved beyond speculation and we've moved in to documented proof that these things happened the way that we have speculated that they have happened. Or that they've happened in a way different from that speculation. But we will have something less nebulous and considerably more concrete. What does this mean in terms of you-know-who?
Bueller. Bueller.
Hard to say what's going to happen with the Ferris Mueller investigation. It's again, we've Lisa Page, some of the testimony that she gave during her time in front of the Judiciary Committee. I mean, not the Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee, excuse me. You know, she said there was nothing there to start out with. we never thought there was anything there before the FBI got involved. And the only reason that the FBI got involved was so that they basically could pimp this dossier and have it be used as legitimate intelligence. We've got a caller on the line. Hang on a minute. I'm going to see. I'm going to bring this gentleman up. We don't ordinarily do callers. We're not necessarily a caller-driven show, as most of you know. It's primarily news and commentary, but let's see what this gentleman. Caller, you are live on the air. Who am I talking with?
Yeah, this is Mike from Singapore. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing well, Mike. Did you say you were calling from Singapore?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, Mike, we're happy to have you here on the show. Welcome. What's your question?
Yes, thank you very much. My question is, normally, you know, when Kerala, India, when the massive flooding came, immediately India besieged, you know, lots of resources they had, from
yes.
army to people to, you know, even Prime Minister Modi. Went within 48 hours to the Kerala state of emergency, all with his helicopters. So I want, and even we have typhoon in the Philippines just a few days ago, or yesterday. I mean, lots of things. The prime minister in charge or et cetera, they immediately do that. And I want to ask you a question. Why Mr. Trump has not gone to the all this affected area yet? He has access to helicopters. He has access to the, you know, the main plane from the White House, you know, Air Force One. So he can easily tour and see what happened and orders help for these people. Why we have to have 32 deaths and it will be climbed? It will 200-400 or more will be die because lack of the, you know.
Okay. Well, let me see, Mike, if I understand your question. What you're asking me and what you're using is this recent tragedy in India where the heads of state were on scene to tour and see the damage and the devastation affected. What I would say is in a situation like this, within the immediacy of the event, which, you know, has just happened over the last couple of days, the logistics involved in bringing the president of the United States to one of those places is tremendous. And I would imagine, and this is just, again, this is just me thinking out loud with you. I would imagine that the reason that the president has not undertaken any kind of tour on the ground in this area, number one, is because of the resources that would be tied up with the logistical demands of the president of the United States moving through one of these areas. And I think that he believes that those resources would be better allocated by him staying out of the way, by having his lieutenants on the scene with the Federal Emergency Management system and moving an agency and moving the information, the flow of information as to what needs to be done and how it needs to be done through those professionals back to the White House. I don't think that it's done out of any lack of sensitivity. I don't think it's done out of any lack of compassion. I find the president to be a remarkably compassionate man, a man of great depth and feeling. And I know that every resource that can be made available to the aid of these people, just as in India, through the military, through the citizens. We have a thing here in the United States over the last few years that's called the Cajun Navy. And it's a group of individuals with small boats who go into areas that have been devastated through floods and hurricanes, and they effect rescues of the folks that are stranded and can't get out. I understand what you're talking about in terms of the symbolism and why it is important for the head of a particular country when tragedies like this occur. And I understand the importance of the imagery. The head of the state is here. We know what's going on with you. We understand your pain. We're looking at it firsthand. We want to do what we can to fix it. But I'm sure that in time the president will make a visit to those areas. That's simply the kind of leader that he is. But I would imagine for right now, in the newness, in the immediacy of what's happened down there, he's probably just decided not to waste those resources and involve them in the logistics of seeing to the head of the state coming in and basically mucking things up. Let the professionals do their jobs.
Yes, and why even vice president doesn't even go? I mean, he can send his vice president and say, go see what's going on, what we can do, and then later on he goes, there is always other alternative he can do to me. He hasn't. They keep saying next week. Next means another 7, 8, 9 days. From now, he may go there. I mean, then it's too late. I mean, if it's better for him to go as soon as possible or send the vice president and say, I cannot come. I have other things to do. That's fine. Vice president goes.
What I would say to that, Mike, is that the logistics on that as well. Incidentally, by the way, the airlines, there's no airstrip to land on is another instance. But the logistics would be the same with the vice president in terms of security, in terms of transportation, in terms of the people who are going. And that's why you have the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency there with his representatives. That's the president's physical presence there. But I promise you, these are the kind of things – he'll be there, and he'll be talking to these people. But I understand what you're talking about in terms of the importance of a national leader to be there.
I don't say that he lands now. I understand there is no place to land or et cetera. I say just do it through the, just by air, because we have news blackout. Because every time you listen to the North Carolina news, they don't say nothing about, little bit of the showing this place. We don't have really still news blackouts because we don't know. I mean, they keep showing little bit of, 20 seconds. This place was flooded, and that's it. And they go more talking about the, tropical storm going now towards other parts of the country, and it will eventually go out to the ocean. But I don't know what's going on. Why? I mean, we have Kerala. They showed live exactly what's going on, what they are doing live. I mean, there is a Philippine right now. There is a China right now too. China, Hong Kong were hit with the typhoon. I mean, they show there is no news blackout. But why we have news blackout?
I'm not exactly sure, Mike. And again, not being from that part of the world and seeing the news coverage that you're seeing, I'm not exactly sure that it's a news blackout. I mean, I live within about 4 or 5 hours from the affected area, not very far away at all. And there's been a tremendous amount of news coverage on the news channels here in the United States. Now, as to what I don't know what goes out beyond that, but I can promise you that it's been they've talked about it. They've been talking about it for days before it happened. And now there's even been speculation that they've kind of like hyped the whole issue up and made it appear to be something. And I'm not trying to downplay or minimize the tragedy or the people. There's been over 20 some people that have lost their lives, billions upon billions of dollars in damage. you know, folks' lives have been destroyed. And it's a tremendous tragedy, and I don't want to downplay that in any way. Our hearts and prayers are with these folks that are being affected by natural disasters everywhere. But again, I really can't speak to that because I'm not exactly sure. And it may be that the storms, from a geographical standpoint, in your part of the country or in your part of the world, have taken greater precedent, as they should, because those are the regions and the areas that are closer to you. Mike, I've enjoyed talking to you tremendously. I've got to move on to some other things. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
I'm very happy that you were listening and joining us. God bless you, Mike. Thank you so much.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Now, that was great. That was awesome. That was Mike from Singapore. And that was terrific. Okay. And I understand what he's talking about here with that, and it's not exactly related to what we were talking about, but this thing has been a pretty serious event. Like I said, lives have been lost, property's been damaged into the billions of dollars, and it's a heartbreaker for everyone involved. But again, I think that as soon as things are safe, as soon as it is appropriate, the president will be in the Carolinas. One of the things that Mike talked about there with the flyover business, I remember during Katrina, President George W. Bush did a flyover. Now, why did he do a flyover? For the exact same reasons that we've talked about. There's nowhere to land the damn thing. Okay. And when he does land, there's got to be people on the ground. There's got to be a motorcade there. There's got to be Secret Service guys. There's got to be, you know, this entourage of security people that go with him and communications teams. It's no small feat. It's no small feat. So that's I think I hope I answered the guy's question. That was really cool. Call from Singapore, far out. Well, you know what? We've come down to the not really much else. But anyway, back to the man.
Bueller?
Yes.
Bueller?
That would be him. Robert Bueller and the investigation. Also, when we look at it and this is a big deal. This declassification of all these memoranda and text messages and emails and all this electronic correspondence that went on between Andy McCabe and Jim Comey and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok and Peter Strzok and Jim Comey and Peter Strzok and Mueller, Robert Bueller, Ferris Mueller. Anyway, you know, all this stuff's going to come out. Now, the point in these communications, this is how they orchestrated. Okay? This is how they drew their plans against us. Because, folks, when they do these things to Donald Trump, when they do these things to Carter Page, when they do these things to George Papadopoulos, when they do these things to Paul Manafort, to Michael Cohen, I'm not saying these guys are Eagle Scouts. I'm not even saying they're good dudes. They are American citizens. That which they do to any one of these, they can do to the least of us. That's why I call them conspirators. That's why I call them traitors. Well, I'll tell you what. We're down at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to scroll through here desperately looking for something to play. And we're going to play it. And then we're going to move on from that into some stuff. I've been wanting to get onto this for a while, and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to. A couple of weeks ago, former President Barack Obama, and I'm not making this up, was given an award. I can't even believe I'm going to say this. Was given an award for ethics in government. I know. But anyway, that's part of it. So we're going to take a little musical break, and we're going to be – hopefully I can get back to that. I got some other things I want to talk about. I just don't know what order we're going to do this stuff in. You, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea are listening to A Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
romance in our
What, you ask?
Geez, mate, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Of course! Of course!
yeah. Okay, here's the deal on that tune. And there are a couple that are like that, that have been kind of like touchstones in my life. In 1974, I was 12 years old. By August, I was 12 years old. Going into the seventh grade at Shady Spring Junior High School, I had moved from the house I had grown up in, the only house I'd known on Sheridan Avenue in Beckley. Said goodbye to my classmates at Lincoln Elementary School that summer vacation and moved to Daniels. And it was there that I went into the seventh grade and began matriculating at Shady Spring Junior High School. Best thing that ever happened to me, going to Shady Junior High, going to Shady High. My brother, he was a Woodrow Wilson Flying Eagle. And that would have been what I was destined to be had we not moved. And I'm really glad we did. I'm not exactly sure why. Woodrow's a great school. It's terrific. My brother teaches there now. As a matter of fact, it's kind of weird. We're both in the school business. My mom was in the school business. My dad is school business too. And my brother and I, he works at the high school that he graduated from, Woodrow Wilson High School, Beckley, West Virginia. I work at the high school that I graduated from, Shady Spring High School, home of the Shady Spring Tigers. Yeah, baby. But anyway, back to the song. That's Maria Muldaur, 1974. And that was just, I don't know, there was just something about that tune. And it does that to me to this day. And I think it's a lot of it is the guitar player. She has a beautiful voice, obviously. But I think it was a guitar player. That's just some of the coolest guitar riffs in pop music. It's just smooth and sweet and clean and just, yeah. And I'm sure there's probably some studio cat who's, you know, like I said, that song's 44 years old. So that dude's probably, you know, gone on. He's in rock and roll heaven playing with those dudes now, backing up Elvis and Jim Croce and those guys. Nice to be back with you. Yeah, it's James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective, Patriot Nation Radio Network. And also of the Talk America Radio Network. Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Until the time changes, then it'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Last week, Manafort made a deal. And this is, people are losing, once again, Democrats are, they're giddy. They're squealing like the 14-year-old girls they are. They're flipping out over Manafort cutting a deal. And that's it. Manafort cuts the deal. We've got the smoking gun. If he gets Manafort, it's dark days for the presidency. Well, the horse dung. Here's how this stuff works. And what they're talking about, and the thing that Manafort is in, he got convicted earlier, a couple months back, of fraud. Some tax fraud schemes. And these are crimes alleged that took place before Paul Manafort had any dealings with President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. They took place at a time when he was acting as a lobbyist, a super lobbyist, actually. And here's how this stuff works. Again, you know, I got to get weedy on this stuff. But this thing with Manafort, I don't think it really serves to wound the president. Here's the deal. When a foreign country seeks influence peddlers in Washington, D.C., the smart ones will buy up the connection for hire merchants on either side of the aisle. So it doesn't matter if it's a Republican, doesn't matter if it's a Democrat. They're looking for influence. They don't care about ideology. They want the president's ear, or they want the Secretary of State's ear, something like that. Now, for those of us that have been following, we've talked about the prosecution of Paul Manafort. In 2012, before Donald Trump was considering running for the presidency, Paul Manafort worked in tandem with Tony Podesta. Tony Podesta, also a former super lobbyist, and brother of John Podesta. John Podesta, campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's most recently failed presidential campaign. Now, Paul Manafort and Tony Podesta, Republican, Democrat, influence peddlers either side of the aisle, were working on behalf. Hold on a second. I'm going to have to hit the pause button, the mute button, because I have got to cough. And now I'm taking a drink. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, Manafort. So, John Podesta, brother, or Tony Podesta, rather, Anthony Podesta, super lobbyist, brother of John Podesta, longtime Clinton confidant and campaign manager for Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign. These two guys, Paul Manafort and Podesta, were working on behalf of the president of the Ukraine. And at the time, the Ukrainian president was a guy named Viktor Yanukovych. And he had a nonprofit lobbying thing that was called the European Center for a Modern Ukraine. Public relations type nonprofit thing. And basically what it was set up to provide a cover for influence peddling, for lobbying. Now the you-know-who team, we don't want to say that too loud because you know what I'll have, has been seeking any and every possible legal violation by people associated with the Trump campaign in order to squeeze them to sing, to provide evidence of some legal violation by Donald Trump. Now, in the case of Manafort, this quest led to a violation of a rarely enforced law called the Foreign Agents Registration Act. Tucker Carlson, who is a longtime denizen of D.C., has frequently noted that a large measure, I mean, it's so unenforced that a large chunk of the lobbying and legal industry in D.C. could all potentially be prosecuted under this act because foreign governments habitually take advantage of the abundant opportunities influence peddlers offer their clientele. So now that Mueller has turned over the Manafort rock and has seen the Ukrainian creepy crawlies, he cannot ignore the roles of both Tony Podesta and a fellow by the name of Greg Craig, two of the most connected Democrats in the lobbying business. These two guys committed the same sin that Paul Manafort did. They failed to make the same kind of registration as a foreign agent. When you go into the influence peddling business, that's one of the things you got to do. So that way, if you're talking with people, they can go, oh, okay, Paul and Tony want to see me, center of modern Ukraine. Oh, okay, so they're in Yanukovych's pocket, and they're coming here as mouthpieces to give him the buildup so that we'll fix something in his favor. Now, these two lobbying firms, one of them owned by Democrat super lobbyist Tony Podesta, knowingly worked with Paul Manafort at the direction of the Ukrainian government. And this is according to an indictment that was released Friday by the special counsel's office. Now, the indictment, which was released ahead of the expected plea deal for Manafort, Manafort says that as part of his, quote, lobbying scheme, he solicited two lobbying firms in February 2012 to lobby on behalf of the president of Ukraine at that time, Viktor Yanukovych. Various employees from Company A and Company B understood that they were receiving direction from Manafort and President Yanukovych, not the Center for a Modern Ukraine, which was not even operational at that time when Companies A and B started lobbying. Company A has been identified as Mercury Public Affairs, a lobbying shop owned by former Minnesota Republican Representative Vin Weber. Company B has been identified as the Podesta Group, the firm that Tony Podesta founded with his brother John, the chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign, unlike Manafort, who pleaded guilty on Friday in an apparent plea agreement. No one from the Podesta Group or Mercury Public Affairs has faced charges in this case, though the latest indictment suggests that these lobbying firms, the Podesta Group and Mercury Public Affairs, skirted federal law by failing to register as foreign agents with the Department of Justice. That's the petard that they're hoisting. That's the very same petard that they're hoisting Paul Manafort from. But in the indictment, we see the evidence that they, you know, the evidence that they were paired, the Mercury Public Relations Group and the Podesta Group, were paired with Manafort in the same crime. Working at Manafort's direction, Mercury and Podesta groups lobbied dozens of members of Congress, their staffers, and White House and Department of State officials regarding a host of issues related to Ukraine, including, ironically, the validity of its elections. Manafort frequently briefed Yanukovych on Mercury and Podesta's lobbying activities. He also tasked the companies to prepare reports that he could provide directly to Viktor Yanukovych. It was this same net that caught Obama administration White House counsel and an impeachment defense lawyer for Bill Clinton, Greg Craig. As CNN reports, they say that federal prosecutors in New York are weighing criminal charges against former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig as part of an investigation into whether he failed to register as a foreign agent in a probe that is linked to former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. In addition, these sources said that prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York are considering taking action against the powerhouse law firm Skadden, Arps, Slate, Marr, and Flom, where Craig was a partner during the activity under examination. Greg Craig is getting caught up in this, doing the same thing that Paul Manafort did, same thing that Tony Podesta did. But the first couple years, I think, of the Obama administration, Greg Craig was a White House counsel, so he was there. He knows what's going on. He knows who's who. He knows what's what. He's been around. Get me? He was also an impeachment lawyer for Bill Clinton. So he's in tight with the Obamas. He's in tight with the Clintons. He's working with Tony Podesta. And he's representing this high-powered law firm he's a partner in this law firm during the time when he's breaking the law. So an attorney for Greg Craig, who left the Skadden firm in April and who was White House counsel under President Barack Obama during the first year of that administration, said his client was not required to register under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. The Skadden law firm hasn't responded to any requests for comments. Any action taken against Greg Craig or the Skadden law firm would be an extraordinary step given Craig's prominence and Skadden's position as one of the largest, most prestigious law firms in the country. Yet, you got a U.S. Attorney's Office in New York considering taking action against these cats for doing just what Paul Manafort did. And this is a good time to point out, lawyers do not enjoy perfect immunity from the Foreign Agent Registration Act. or FARA. And as it has, FARA does have an exception for lawyers who are performing legitimate legal work on behalf of a foreign client, representing them in legal matters in court in the United States, say. It does require, in other words, the guy's, you know, he's a foreign national, he marries an American woman, he says, American woman's crazy, I'm done, I go back to the old country, find, you know, so whatever. So he's in a divorce, so he has a lawyer representing him to get him out of his, you know, so he can go back. Or somebody's being sued, that sort of thing. But it does require lawyers, like Paul Manafort, like Greg Craig, like Tony Podesta, who are attempting to influence United States government policy matters to register as foreign agent, to register as a foreign agent. Lawyers engaged in legal representation of foreign principals in the courts or similar type proceedings, so long as the attorney does not try to influence policy at the behest of his client, are exempt. Okay, so these guys are not exempt. That's the exemption. Excuse me once again while I hit the mute button. And we're back. So when these guys are doing legitimate legal work for a foreign national who's got something going on, you know, some kind of court proceeding, or you know, he's in a situation where he needs legal representation for that individual or for that corporation, that foreign corporation, then they're exempt. But if it's a lawyer who's working at the behest of a government to influence U.S. foreign policy in favor of that particular country or against some other country, then, yeah, you got to register as a foreign agent. And it would look like Greg Craig and the Skadden Law Firm have crossed that line. Because Manafort arranged to have the Skadden Law Firm disseminate hard copies of the reports to numerous government officials, including senior United States executive and legislative branch officials. So this law firm is sending out hard copies of this lobbying attempt on behalf of Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. They're sending them to officials in the executive branch. They're sending them to the State Department. They're sending them to the Department of Justice. They're sending them to Congress. Now, the partner at the Skadden Law Firm who worked on these reports that were disseminated to these folks was Greg Craig. According to court proceedings in another related case, and this is, you know, we're going to get a little weedy, but not that weedy. There was another lawyer at the Skadden Law Firm by the name of Alex Vanderswan who pleaded guilty in February to what? Lying to the special counsel's office about what? Well, he admitted that he misled investigators about his discussions related to Skadden's work for Yanukovych in preparing the report. In other words, he told these, so these guys come in. Did you know that Greg Craig was working for Viktor Yanukovych and trying to get some leverage for Ukraine? No, did not know that. I did not know that, but he did know that. So he's in trouble too. So team now faces a bit of a dilemma. If they don't prosecute the Democrats who have committed the same offenses that Paul Manafort has, Republicans, with President Trump's Twitter account in the lead, can harp on the theme of a double standard or two-tiered justice. And even if prosecutions result, if they don't squeeze the Democrat defendants and put pressure on them, the way they put on guys like Manafort, like George Papadopoulos, like Michael Cohen, or threaten them with long prison terms, again, we're going to see a telling contrast. These guys are connected, Podesta and Greg Craig. They're connected. They're connected to probably every leading Democrat out there. They're connected to probably everybody who has been involved or who has had knowledge of this conspiracy, this coup attempt to unseat a constitutionally elected president. They'll trade it away for leniency. And again, when it comes to the Mueller investigation, there's a tremendous amount of conflict of interest here. Tremendous amount. The guy's got 17 lawyers on his staff. All of them voted for Hillary Clinton. 80% of them are Hillary Clinton donors. This is not an investigation. It's just exactly what the president said it is. It's a necktie party. It's a lynch mob. It's a witch hunt. And we still didn't get to talk about what I wanted to talk about. Damn it. We only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm about out of gas on this stuff anyway. But as you can see, things are taking a decidedly interesting turn. And again, it's only going to be simply a matter of days before this information is out to where you and I can get our hands on it. And like I said, I'm sure, pardon me, that there are people out there that are just, they're going to the wall. They've got the throttle pressed to the firewall. Research teams are looking over this stuff. There are certain things that they're wanting to find out, and it's only through going through all of these, and there are going to be thousands of them within certain threads, and they can probably narrow it down to certain windows in time as to when certain things happened, as to whether, you know, and then look before and after that window to see the bubbles of conversation and the email threads and the text messages and all those forms of electronic communications that went back and forth between the conspirators. Because this is a conspiracy. This is sedition. This is treason. This is a coup attempt. And we better be ready. Well, that's all the time I have for right now. I have enjoyed tremendously getting to talk to you tonight. Mike from Singapore, buddy, thank you so much for calling, sir. That was a great treat. And we were honored to have you on the show. And I hope I was able to answer your question somewhat intelligently. We will be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here, taking a look at things as we always do, through a conservative perspective. Until that time, God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. And we'll see you Thursday night, 7 p.m. You guys take good care. See you then.